Well, welcome. It's great to have you here in the West venue and all those that are over in the East venue and those that are online today right now. Thank you so much for being here today. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And today we are starting a brand new series. We're calling it Playing with Fire. And every week we're going to talk about something that can burn us. And today we're going to be talking about our old friend, worry. We're going to be playing with worry because a lot of times we struggle with worry. In fact, let me just tell you, the word worry is actually a German word, and it means to choke, to strangle. And some of you, when you have worry, some of you feel that way, like you can't even sleep, you can't even breathe. I mean, it's just like, ugh, it's just like something's like holding around your neck, and that's exactly what worry does. And let's be honest, when we stop and think about things to be worried about. Oh boy, we've had a lot this last year, haven't we? A lot of times we're thinking about, you know, we're worried about the pandemic. You know, am I gonna get it? Is somebody that I know gonna get it? Is somebody that I know and love gonna get it? And possibly die from it? I mean, just worry, 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 and all sorts of things like that. We worry about our kids. Are they gonna grow up the right way? If you have kids that are in college, you know, are they doing the right things? Are they doing their homework? Are they doing all this stuff? Because this is setting them up for when they're out of college. And so we worry about that. We worry about if our parents getting older, you know, can they live by themselves? Do they have to live with us or somewhere else? You know, are they, because they're getting older, are they going to die? I will tell you the answer is yes, because everybody dies at some point, okay? But that's a worry that we have, right? That we're afraid of that. We're worried. We're concerned about that. We have worry about so many different things. We worry about our marriage. Is our marriage good? Are we going to stay together? Are we not going to stay together? We go to the doctor, and the doctor says something like this. You know, there's something quite not right. We're going to have to take some more tests. And it could be something simple, but in your mind, you're hearing the word cancer, right? And you're worried about that. And you're thinking, I'm going to die, and it's just not going to be a good thing. We worry about all these types of different things. Can I tell you one of the things, as me as a pastor, that I worry about? True thing. One of the things I worry about is there somebody that will spend eternity away from God because I didn't make the message of Jesus clear enough. That's a concern to me. That's something that I want to make sure that people understand who Jesus is and why every one of us need to know him. But we worry. You probably worry in your marriage. You probably worry about whatever you do for a living. Students, you're probably worried about, oh my gosh, how am I going to get past school this year? How am I going to do it on Zoom and not on Zoom? And all this kind of stuff. It's just worry, 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 worry. We worry so much, to which some of you right now are probably saying inside of yourself, well, I wasn't worrying until Mark started talking. Now I got a whole lot of things to be worried about, right? But that's the reality. We honestly, we do have things that we worry about. And it's like a stranglehold on us. And we can't get away from it. And we don't know what to do with it. So today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about worry and see what the Bible says, see what God says about worry. And I want to start off with a verse for you. One of the verses is this. It's in Romans 14, and it says this. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. Everything that does not come from faith to sin. Can I ask you, where does worry come from? Does it come from faith? No. So if it doesn't come from faith, then that means that worry must be a sin. And for some reason, we've never thought about that before. Worry is sin. Worry is like saying we don't trust God. We don't believe God. You see, there are some of you that are worried so much that you are actually, some of you, and I'm not joking on this, if you have nothing to worry about, you worry about that. Right? Right? And we even have a name for this. We call it that person a worry what? Oh, you've heard of that too. Isn't that a weird thing to call somebody worry wart? I guess it's better than worry pimple. I don't know what it is, but here's the thing. We call people worry wart because if we don't have something to worry about, we worry about that. Why? Because what happens is like everything's going good. That means that at any time, something's going to go bad. The other shoe's going to drop, and it's just going to be bad. And we worry about these types of things. And what we're saying is no, because worry does not come from faith. And if it doesn't come from faith, then it is actually sin. In fact, let me give you a definition for worry that we're going to talk about today. And here's what it's going to say right here. Boom. Worry is the sin of distrusting the promises and power of God. Now, worry is the sin of distrusting the promises and power of God. Now, I don't know where you're at with God, but if you are a follower of Jesus Christ at home or in our venues today, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, do you trust the promises of God? And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, do you trust the power of God? It is so easy to say, well, I think the answer in church is to say yes. But I want you to answer it honestly. When you are at home, when you are laying in bed at night and you cannot sleep, are you trusting God's promises and power? Or instead, are we distrusting it? We want to say, yes, we're trusting, but the reality and the way we live and the way we act and the way we worry tells us that we really aren't doing that often. Wow. So, 2 Timothy, let me give you this. 2 Timothy says this, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear," to which we say worry, because really worry is fear. "He gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a good mind." This is what he's given us. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, he's given us power and love and a good mind. So why do we worry? Honestly, because we don't really trust in his promises and his power. We think oftentimes we can do better. We think, God, I'll give it to you, but then after a while, we'll just kind of take it away. God, I gave you 3 minutes and you didn't do it. So I'll just take care of it myself. I mean, this is what happens. We want to give it to God because we know we should and we want to get it off of our back, right? But God, I want you to do it quicker. I want you to do it better, faster. That's what I want you to do. So what does Jesus say about worry? Because Jesus even talked about worry. Here, let's give you a verse right here. It tells us right here, here we go, Matthew 6. Do not, say this with me, do what? To which many of you would kind of act, really want me to cover that up. Because you like to worry. Because you're worried about all these different things. But what does Jesus say? He says, no, do not worry. Do not worry about what? Your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? In other words, do not worry about your life. But what do? We worry. We worry about our life, we worry about our kids' life, our spouse's life. We worry about all these different things over and over and over again. And it's sad, because we're wasting so much time. And some of you right now are thinking about the things in your life that you are worrying about. And I want you to hear today that God is saying, I got a plan for you. And we're going to walk through what this plan is about. See, when we worry, we stay up late at night. We can't sleep. We just can't function during the day because we didn't sleep. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? What worry does is it creates ulcers, it creates sleepless nights, high blood pressure, all these different things happen when we are worried. That is not healthy, that is not good, that is not God's plan for you and me, to always worry about something that is actually going on. So I want to give us 3 statements today. And I want us to walk through these 3 statements that will help us stop the stranglehold of worry. And if you have our C3 app, you can take notes on that if you'd like to do so. But here's the first one I want to talk to you about. The first statement is this. I will do what God asked me to do. Say that with me. I will do what God asked me to do. Say it one more time. I will do what God asks me to do. I want you to get that in your brain. I want you to get that in your thoughts. I will do what God asks me to do. Will we actually do that? Will we actually do that? Will we actually do what God asks me to do? Let me give you some examples. Let's say you know somebody. Let's say you know somebody that is unemployed. And you go up to and say, "Hey, you know, how you doing? Are you going out to checking on and knocking on doors and asking to see if you can get hired?" No. Have you made a resume? No. Have you networked with anybody? No. So how are you going to get a job, right? Well, God's just going to bring one to me. And it's going to be a great job with a lot of money, and I'm going to have a corner office with a view, and it's just going to be awesome, and God's just going to bring it to me. How's that working for you, moron? It ain't working. Because God always has, where God does his part, but he always wants us to be part of that. He's always asking us to do what we can do and let the rest be on him. But for some reason, when we say no to anything and just say, "I'm just going to give it to God, God's going to do everything." Like, what? Show me that in the scripture. Let me give you another one. Maybe you know somebody that's not married, but they, and you go up to them and go, "Hey, do you ever think about marriage?" "Yeah." "Do you want to get married?" "Yeah." "Have you left the house recently?" "No." "Have you been around anybody of the opposite sex?" "No." "Have you taken a shower?" right? So if you're not doing any of these things, so tell me, how, if you want to be married and you're praying God for that, how are you going to get married? Well, God's just going to bring the right person to the door. Really? Wow, that's amazing. I would love to see if that happens, but I've never heard that happening. See, we got to do our part. We got to do our part. God is saying, "I will do mine, but you got a part to play within this as well." In James 1:22, take a look at this. James 1:22 says this: "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says." Okay, let's try it a little louder, okay? "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but what?" Whew, man, I thought you guys were asleep for a minute. Okay, so do what it says. Now, hold the first here. Now, here's the thing. Do not merely listen to the word, to which a lot of you will say, "Well, when I go to church," Mark, you always have a bunch of verses. So I'm listening to it, but now I'm hearing something else. I'm supposed to do what it says? Are you kidding me? I thought I'd just come, I listen, and then I go home. Did you actually know? This is going to shock some of you guys. Did you actually know? Yes, we do talk about verses from the Bible on Sunday mornings, but did you actually know you can read the Bible at home during the week? Oh my goodness, did you know that? And if you're a follower of God and you want to get to know God better, you probably ought to be in the Bible. A crazy thought, I know. Do not merely listen to the word, whether it's from me on a Sunday morning, whether it's from you during the week reading the Bible. Don't just merely listen to it. Do what it says. There is power in God's word. And if we listen and do what it says, it will help us grow us in different ways. Help us grow out of the worry, possibly. If we only actually do these things. Some reason we go, "Why do I keep struggling with the same thing, with worry and all these other things?" Because you're just listening, but you're not doing what it says. This is God kind of slapping us around saying, "Wake up! Do something! This is our part." So, this is what we got to do. So here's what happens. Two things we're going to see right now. Two things God will give us to do. Letter A. Letter A is this: God will ask me to think on the right things. God will ask me to think on the right things. Because what is worry? Worry is thinking on the wrong things. God wants us to think on actually the right things. Let me give you a verse. In 2 Corinthians, it says this. It says, "Take every thought captive To make it obedient to who? Christ. To make it obedient, we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. That is what God is calling us to do. So when we start going down the what if thoughts, well, what if they get sick? What if they die? What if I lose my job? As you begin going down the what ifs, you pause, you go, wait a minute. I'm supposed to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. I'm not going to listen to this worry. I'm not going to allow this because God's got this. God's got my back. God is the one who's taking care of all this. I had to take all of these thoughts, these negative thoughts, these bad thoughts, these worry thoughts, these fearful thoughts, and we make them obedient to Christ. Philippians tells us this. In Philippians, it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what are we to do? Say it with me. Think about such things. We change our mind. We think differently. It's totally different. You know, let me give you an example. You may be a student, and maybe you're getting a project that you have to do in science, let's say, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to funk this thing. I don't understand science. I don't like doing these projects and stuff. But then all of a sudden you're going, well, wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ within me. I'm going to try. I'm going to start early. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm not going to wait till midnight on the day that's supposed to be turned in. I'm going to start early. I may not get an A, but I'm not going to get an F. I'm going to try. I'm going to change my thoughts and how I do things like that. You see, here's the problem, or here's the issue. How do we take our thoughts captive to Christ? How do we do that? And here's the example I want to kind of give you. Let's say you are learning a different language. And let's say it's German, okay? So let's say if somebody comes, you're learning German, and you have somebody come up to you and they talk to you in German, here's what's going to happen with you. You're going to hear it in German, and then in your mind, you're going to translate it into English. Then you're going to respond in your mind in English, and then you're going to translate that back to German to respond to them because you're just learning German. But can I tell you what's going to happen in 6 months, maybe a year if you keep studying it? Somebody will come up and speak German to you, and you will hear it in German, and you can talk right back to them in German because you've learned it. This is what we're saying. This word about, you know, we got to take captive all these thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. That doesn't happen the first time we do it. It's going to be something we're going to learn, something we're going to grow in, just like we're learning how to do German or whatever else. We're going to learn it over time. The more you do it, the more easier it'll become as you take those thoughts captive and make it obedient to Christ. That is something that God's calling us to do, and it will take some time, but we can do it if we choose to do what God is calling you and I to do. And then letter B, the other thing he's asking us is this, is God will ask me to do what is right. God's going to ask me to do what is right. What's that? God will ask me to do what is wise. What did I say? Oh, well, see, I am so glad you're listening. I love that. That was just a test for some of you guys. You guys passed. The others that didn't say anything, you failed. That's fine. That's fine. So let me give you an example. So what is wise? Okay. So think about this. If you don't have a job, what would be wise? Well, it's what we talked about earlier. It would be wise to actually have a resume, knock on doors, network, do all those types of things. What about your kids? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have kids that are going sideways, that are not following God, what could you do? Well, there's a few things. You can pray for them. You can maybe get in a small group for parents that we have here maybe to help know how to help their kids to come to know Christ and to follow Christ. Sometimes you can discipline them. Woo! What? That's crazy talk. Can I just tell you? When you punish your children, and please, let me just understand, help us understand. I'm not talking about beating your kids. I'm talking about punishing them. Do you realize that is something God does? Over the time, see, God is our Father. We are His children. And I don't know about you, but in my life, as I've been a follower of Jesus Christ, here's the thing. There's been times where God has had to kind of, in a sense, punish me. He didn't beat me up, but he's kind of given me a timeout at different times. And I'm going to guess there's probably some of you that's happened with you once in a while. But because that's what a good father does. That's what a good parent does. Because actually, when you punish a child or something, that's actually love at times. To say, what you are doing is wrong. This is the right thing. And somebody has to take hold of this and make sure that this child grows up in the way that they are supposed to. As they follow Jesus Christ. Now, I know this is controversial. Oh, I'll never punish my kid. Oh, well, good luck with that. We'll see him in the news one of these days. But this is something that we got to look at. This is wisdom. When something is going wrong with our kid, we do something about that. If you want to get married, we talked about that. What would be good? Get out of the house. Go around people. Shower. Use mouthwash. I don't know. Just whatever. Do something, right? That's the wise thing to do. To do something. Don't just say, God, just bring him to my door, because that is probably not going to happen. But you got to do part, and then God will do his part as well. So let me give you the second one. The second one we're looking at today is this. I will give God what I can't do. So I will do what God tells me to do. But number two is, I will give God what I can't do. Would you say that with me? I will give God what I can't do. Did I say it right that time? Okay, good. All right, thanks. Okay. I will give God what I can't do. See, this is what God is asking us to do. In fact, let me give you Philippians. In Philippians, we have a verse here. It says this: Do not be anxious about anything. Now hold it right here. Do not be anxious about anything. When you weren't sleeping last night because you were worried about that certain thing, would that be anything? I think so. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Present your request to God. In other words, give it to God. Give it to God. And then it goes on and it says this: and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will do what? Guard your hearts. He'll guard hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. God's heart is for us to not worry, but to trust him. Do what he tells us to do, and then we give the rest to him, what we can't do. And there's probably a few things that we actually cannot do. I mean, we struggle with this. There are some things we can't, like, let me just ask you, can you heal cancer? No. Now, you may be a doctor, and you may be able to help with that, but can you heal cancer? No. Can God heal cancer? Sure. Okay, so we're going to put that in the God column. That's not on for us. That's for God. Okay? So stop and think about this. So what about this? Can you protect your kids 24/7? No. Why? Because at some point you got to go to work and go to sleep, right? Can God watch over your kids 24/7? Yes. So we're gonna give that actually to God as well. Can God change your spouse? Not like, yeah, I'd like to change my spouse for that one over there. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, can God change your spouse as far as their attitude or things like that, right? Can you change your spouse? Can God? And you know, guess what? God can also change you. We are always praying for the spouse. God, just sick. I'm just making me. And God's going, I need to do that for you. That's what God does. I mean, right? So that's in the God column. That's not something that we can always do. Can you, when you worry, does that solve your problems? Does that fix your problems when you worry? No. Can God fix your problems? Yes. So we put in that column. Let me give you an example. A couple of months ago, we had kind of a big wind around here, and I was looking out the window, and I'm seeing part of my fence just wobbling. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I ran out there in the wind trying to keep it up and all that stuff. And then I heard something on the roof, and some of my shingles are going like this. And I thought, oh, my gosh. So I stayed up that night. I mean, I went to sleep, but about every, like, 2 hours, I got up and looked out the window, making sure if everything's fine. It's too dark, can't see. Next morning, I get up there, fence is down. The shingles are going like this. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Did worry do anything good for me? No. Yesterday with the wind we had, I was thinking, okay, what's going to happen with the fence? What's going to happen with the shingles, all that stuff? And I thought, you know, 2 months ago, I was fretting, looking out the window. I was going outside in the middle of the night trying to see if everything's, and it still went down. So yesterday, I said, I'm not even going to look outside. I'm not going to worry about it. Good news is, everything stayed fine. But the reality is, worry didn't help. Either way, worry doesn't help. But for some reason, we think it is. We think it's actually something that we should actually do. Let me give you the third one. Third phrase is this. No matter what, I will trust God. Would you say that with me? No matter what, I will trust God. Now, you say that because I asked you to say that. But do you really believe this? Will you really do that? No matter what, will you, will I, will we trust God? Will we really actually do that? Let me give you a verse in Matthew. In Matthew, it says this, seek first his, God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Now, hold on for a second. Do not worry about tomorrow. Did you know you and I are always in today? We are always in the moment. But God transcends all that. God is in the past. God is in the future. And God is in the present. And so right now, we don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because God's already there. Because God already knows what worries and struggles and things that you have that's going to happen tomorrow. And God's going, I'm already there. I've got your back. But somehow, some way, we just feel like worry is the best thing for us to do. And God's going, that's not my heart for you. No matter what, I will trust God. So we do not worry, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And then Proverbs, let me give you Proverbs. In Proverbs, it says this, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? Oh, all. Yeah, that's interesting. All your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths what? Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't worry about those things. God's saying, I am there. I will help you. God will show us what we are to do. We will give to God what we can't do. And the rest is history. Let me give you two points to ponder. One of them is this. The first one is, what are you worrying about right now? I want you to be honest with that. What are you worrying about right now? You don't have to write it down. You don't have to say it to your neighbor. But inside, eternally, answer that honestly. What is it that you are worrying about right now in this stage of life and what you're dealing with? What are you worrying about right now? Let me give you the second thing to ponder. Second thing to ponder is simply this. Which of the three statements will you give to God? Will it be A, will it be where I will do what God asked me to do? Will it be B, where it's I will give God what I can't do? Or will it be C, no matter what, I will trust God? Which of the three statements will you give? Will you give it one, two, or all three of them to God? That's the hope. But here's the thing, at least to start with one of them. And see what God's going to do in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, we are wasting so much time and energy and health and sleep and high blood pressure because of so many things that we are worried about. And God is saying, I've got this. That's what a loving father does. Let's pray. So Father, right now as we pause, we thank you that you are a God that transcends the past, the present, and the future. And I'm so thankful, God, that you are a loving heavenly father. And I just pray blessing right now over each person right now at home that's listening or in the venues right now. And I pray, Lord, that the worries and the struggles that we are dealing with, that you would help us to make those thoughts be captive and to be obedient to Christ. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would help us with this, to begin to start doing this, to listen to this message, to apply the things we've talked about and the verses we talked about, to be able to not be worried all the time. And so, Father, I thank you that you are a good, good Father. That's who you are. And you love us. And you're there for us. And you cover our backside. And I'm so thankful for that. Father, today, those online, those here in the venues, there are some that do not have a relationship with you. But my hope and my prayer is that they hear today that God loves them. You care for them, and you've got their back. And regardless if they're running from you, you're running to them. And I'm so thankful for that. And Lord, there's some that may be online or in the venues right now that maybe they knew you at once, but they've walked away. Maybe it's because of worry, because they didn't think you would do the right thing that they wanted you to do. But Father, whether it's the first time or whether it's the 90th time, they're coming to you. And they're bowing their heart and they're saying, "Dear God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my struggles. Forgive me for my doubt. I need you, God. I need a relationship with you. I need your forgiveness." And Lord, I thank you for those that are making that decision today, because Lord, that happens all the time around here, and I'm so thankful for that. So we pray blessing for those that are coming into relationship with you right now. In your amazing name we pray. Amen.